Hey everyone, welcome back to BrightLearn.ai. We've got something really special today, because we're diving into a book that's not just timely, it's downright revolutionary. It's called The Creator's Manifesto: How to Shape Your Future in the Age of AI, and let me tell you, this isn't your typical tech hype or self-help fluff. This is a full-on battle plan for reclaiming your sovereignty in a world that's actively trying to turn us into passive, obedient consumers. Nova, I know you've been digging into this one. What hit you first when you started reading?
Oh man, Reese, it's like the book reached into my brain and pulled out this frustration I've had for years, but couldn't quite articulate. The core idea is that we've been conditioned, not just encouraged, but engineered, to be consumers instead of creators. And it's not just about buying stuff. It's deeper than that. It's about how we spend our time, how we measure success, even how we think about our own potential. Like, why do we default to scrolling, binge-watching, or outsourcing every little task when we're capable of so much more? The book lays out how this isn't an accident. It's the result of over a century of psychological and economic manipulation.
Exactly. And it traces this back to the early 20th century, when figures like Edward Bernays, you know, the nephew of Sigmund Freud, basically invented modern propaganda. He took Freud's ideas about human desires and flipped them into tools for corporate and government control. The book cites his work with companies like General Electric, where he convinced women that smoking cigarettes was an act of feminist rebellion, when really, it was just a way to sell more cigarettes. That's the playbook. Take a natural human impulse, twist it, and redirect it toward consumption. And now, we're seeing the same tactics, but supercharged with AI, algorithms, and surveillance capitalism.
Right, and the book connects this to how our education system is structured. Like, think about it. Schools train us to follow instructions, memorize facts, and regurgitate them on demand, basically to be good little factory workers or corporate drones. But creativity, independent thinking, those get sidelined. The book points to studies showing that kids' creative thinking peaks at age 5 and then declines as they go through school. By the time we're adults, most of us have been trained to believe we're not creative, that we need experts or corporations to tell us what to do. And that's the lie this book is here to dismantle.
And here's the kicker. The system doesn't just want us to consume. It wants us to depend. The book breaks down how even the way cities are designed, sprawl, car dependency, the death of third spaces like libraries and community centers, all of it isolates us and makes us reliant on corporations for everything. Need food? Grocery store. Need entertainment? Streaming service. Need social interaction? Social media. But the second you start creating, growing your own food, writing your own stories, building your own tools, you're opting out of that dependency. And that's why the rise of AI is such a game changer.
Oh, it's huge. The book gives this incredible historical parallel. During the Industrial Revolution, the ruling class freaked out because they thought machines would make workers obsolete. But what actually happened? New kinds of work emerged. Work that was more creative, more human. The same thing is happening now, but on steroids. AI is automating the repetitive, soul-crushing jobs, the data entry, the telemarketing, the assembly line tasks, but it's liberating us to focus on what machines can't do. Create, connect, innovate. The book cites a 2023 Oxford study that found 47% of U.S. jobs are at high risk of automation, but the jobs that require creativity, emotional intelligence, and complex problem-solving, those are the ones that are growing, and those are the jobs that can't be outsourced or replaced.
And that's where the book's framework for using AI as a tool, not a replacement, comes in. It's not about letting AI do everything for you. It's about using AI to handle the grunt work so you can focus on the high-value stuff. Like, there's this case study in the book about a small farmer in Kansas who used open-source AI tools to analyze soil data and optimize his irrigation system. He cut his water usage by 60% and doubled his yield without buying expensive proprietary tech. That's the power of AI in the hands of creators. It's not just about efficiency, it's about autonomy. You're not dependent on some agribusiness corporation telling you how to farm. You're using the tools to take control.
Yes. And the book is packed with examples like that. There's the musician who used AI to generate a first draft of an album, melodies, harmonies, even lyrics, and then spent a month refining it, adding her own emotional depth and personal stories. The AI didn't replace her artistry, it accelerated it. Or the teacher who used AI to automate grading and lesson planning, freeing her up to spend more time mentoring students one-on-one. The book calls this the creator stack. AI handles the repetitive tasks, you bring the vision and the heart, and together, you produce something greater than either could alone.
And that's the mindset shift the book is pushing. It's not AI is coming for your job, it's AI is here to help you do your job better, or even create a job that didn't exist before. The book cites data from the World Economic Forum that predicts 65% of kids entering primary school today will end up working in jobs that don't exist yet. That's not a threat, it's an opportunity, but only if we're willing to step into the role of creators. The people who thrive in this new world won't be the ones clinging to old systems. They'll be the ones who see AI as a collaborator, not a competitor.
Absolutely. And the book doesn't just stop at the philosophical. It gives you a blueprint for making this shift. It breaks down how to identify your unique strengths, how to leverage AI tools to bring your ideas to life, and even how to build a personal brand that lets you monetize your creativity. But here's what I love. It's not about hustle culture or grinding yourself into the ground. It's about sustainable creation. The book talks about the difference between time for money work and asset building work. Like, if you're a freelance writer and you're constantly chasing the next gig, you're still trapped in the consumer model, just trading time for dollars. But if you write a book, or create a course, or build a community around your work, you're creating something that continues to generate value long after you've put in the initial effort.
That's the passive income piece, which the book dives into in a way I haven't seen anywhere else. It's not about get-rich-quick schemes, it's about ownership. The book compares it to the difference between renting and buying a home. When you rent, you're paying someone else's mortgage. When you buy, you're building equity. Creation is the same way. Every time you create something, whether it's a song, a piece of software, a YouTube channel, you're building an asset that can work for you. The book gives the example of a woodworker who started posting tutorials online. Within a year, his ad revenue and affiliate sales were covering his mortgage. But the real win? He owned his platform. No one could fire him. No algorithm could fully control him. That's the kind of resilience we need in a world where jobs can disappear overnight.
And that's what's so radical about this moment. The old model, go to school, get a job, work for 40 years, retire, is dead. The book cites data showing that the average person now changes careers 3 to 5 times in their lifetime. Pensions are gone. Job security is a myth. But if you're a creator, you're not just adaptable, you're anti-fragile. You've got multiple income streams. You've got skills that transcend any single industry, and you're not waiting for permission to start something new. The book tells this story about a corporate lawyer who got laid off during the 2008 financial crisis, instead of scrambling for another soul-crushing job. She used her legal knowledge to create an online course teaching people how to protect their assets. Now, she makes more money than she ever did at the firm, and she works half the hours.
And that's the kind of freedom the book is all about. It's not just financial freedom, it's mental freedom. The book talks about how creation is tied to our sense of agency, our belief that we can shape our own lives. And there's actual neuroscience behind this. Studies show that when we engage in creative work, our brains release dopamine, which is linked to motivation and satisfaction. But here's the wild part. The anticipation of creating something, just planning it, can boost dopamine levels by up to 200%. That's more than eating your favorite food or winning a bet. Our brains are wired to create, and when we don't, we're not just bored. We're starving on a neurological level.
That's why the book ties creation to mental health. It cites research showing that people who engage in regular creative activities, whether it's writing, gardening, coding, or even cooking, have lower levels of stress, anxiety, and depression. And it's not just about distraction. It's about meaning. The book references Viktor Frankl's work on logotherapy, the idea that humans thrive when they have a sense of purpose. Consumption doesn't give us that. But creation? Absolutely. When you're building something, you're not just passing time, you're leaving a mark. And in a world that's increasingly chaotic and uncertain, that sense of purpose is everything.
And that's where the book gets really interesting, because it frames creation as an act of resistance. In a world where governments and corporations want to track everything we do, control everything we see, and turn us into predictable data points. Creating is how we push back. Every time you write a blog post instead of scrolling through one, every time you grow your own food instead of buying processed junk, every time you build something instead of buying it, you're taking back a piece of your sovereignty. The book calls this the Creator's Rebellion. The idea that the most radical thing you can do in a centralized, controlled world is to opt out and build your own.
It's so true. And the book gives us incredible example of a group of homesteaders who used AI and open source tech to create a fully off-grid community. They designed their own solar power systems, built their own water filtration, even set up a local cryptocurrency for trading goods. They're not just consumers, they're producers. And that's the ultimate form of resistance. Because when you can feed yourself, power your own home, and create your own income, you're not dependent on the systems that want to control you. You're free. And that's what the globalists and the technocrats are terrified of, people who don't need them.
Exactly. And that's why the book isn't just about individual creation. It's about community. It talks about how the most resilient creators are the ones who build networks, people who collaborate, share resources, and support each other. The book cites the example of the open source software movement, where programmers around the world work together to build tools that no single corporation could ever control. That's the power of decentralized creation. And it's not just about tech. The book highlights communities like the Maker Movement, where people share designs for 3D-printed tools, or the Food Forest Movement, where neighbors collaborate to grow food in public spaces. These aren't just hobbies. They're parallel economies, systems that operate outside the corporate consumer complex.
And that's the future the book is pointing toward. A world where creation isn't just a side hustle. It's the foundation of how we live. Where AI isn't our overlord. It's our partner. Where we're not just surviving. We're thriving. The book ends with this powerful line. The 21st century won't be remembered for what we consumed. It will be remembered for what we created. And that's the choice we all have to make. Are we going to be passive consumers in someone else's story? Or are we going to be the creators of our own?
And here's the thing. You don't need permission to start. You don't need a fancy degree or a Silicon Valley connection. The tools are here. The platforms are here. The audience is here. The book gives this great exercise. Ask yourself, what's one thing I can create today that didn't exist yesterday? It could be a song, a meal, a piece of code, a garden, a story, anything. The point is to start. Because every creator started as a beginner. Every movement started with a single act of defiance. And every empire of consumption is vulnerable to the person who decides to opt out and build something better.
Absolutely. And if you're listening to this and thinking, but I'm not creative, the book has a whole section on how that's a myth. Creativity isn't some magical talent you're born with. It's a skill you develop. The book cites research showing that people who believe creativity is a fixed trait, you either have it or you don't, are far less likely to engage in creative work. But people who see creativity as a muscle, they're the ones who change the world. And the best part? You can start small. The book gives the example of a guy who started by writing one tweet a day. A year later, he had a book deal. Another woman started a tiny newsletter for her friends. Now, it's a six-figure business. It's not about the scale, it's about the habit.
And that's the message we want to leave you with today. The future isn't something that happens to us, it's something we create. And the tools to do that are more powerful than ever. So, what are you waiting for? Start small. Use what you have. Create something today. And if you want to dive deeper into this, the Creator's Manifesto is the roadmap. And remember, you can even create your own books, courses, or content on any topic, completely free, using the AI tools at BrightLearn. AI. The world doesn't need more consumers. It needs you. Your ideas, your voice, your creativity.
Thanks so much for tuning in, everyone. We'll catch you next time on BrightLearn.ai. And in the meantime, go create something. The world is waiting.